I remember my grandfather, the Viceroy, unveiling the Lord Gough's statue in 1878. A great black crowd, scarlet soldiers on horseback, strings pulling away a brown, shiny sheet. The old Duke, the formidable grandpapa, talking loudly to the crowd. I recall even a phrase he used. "And with a withering folly he shattered the enemy's line." I quite understood that he was speaking about war and fighting, and that a volley meant what the black-coated soldiers, riflemen, used to do with loud bangs so often in the Phoenix Park, where I was taken for my morning walks. This, I think, is my first coherent memory. Other events stand out more distinctly. We were to go to a pantomime. There was great excitement about it. The long-looked-for afternoon arrived. We started from the Vice-Regal and drove to the castle, where other children were no doubt to be picked up. Inside the castle was a great square space, paved with small oblong stones. It rained. It nearly always rained, just as it does now. People came out of the doors of the castle, and there seemed to be much stir. Then we were told we could not go to the pantomime because the theatre had been burned down. All that was found of the manager was the keys that had been in his pocket. We were promised, as a consolation for not going to the pantomime, to go next day and see the ruins of the building. I wanted very much to see the keys, but this request does not seem to have been well received. In one of these years we paid a visit to Amo Park, the seat of Lord Port Arlington, who was explained to me as a sort of uncle. Of this place I can give very clear descriptions, though I have never been there since I was 4 or 4½. The central point in my memory is a tall, white stone tower, which we reached after considerable drive. I was told it had been blown up by Oliver Cromwell. I understood definitely that he'd blown up all sorts of things and was therefore a very great man. My nurse, Mrs. Everest, was nervous about the Fenians. I gathered these were wicked people, and there was no end to what they would do if they had their way. On one occasion, when I was out riding on my donkey, we thought we saw a long, dark procession of Fenians approaching. I'm sure now it must have been the Rifle Brigade out for a route march. But we were all very much alarmed, particularly the donkey, who expressed his anxiety by kicking. I was thrown off and had concussion of the brain. This was my first introduction to Irish politics. In the Phoenix Park there was a great round clump of trees with a house inside it. In this house there lived a personage styled the Chief Secretary, or the Under Secretary, I'm not clear which. But at any rate, from this house there came a man called Mr. Burke. He gave me a drum. I cannot remember what he looked like, but I remember the drum. 2 years afterwards, when we were back in England, they told me he'd been murdered by the Fenians in this same Phoenix Park we used to walk about in every day. Everyone round me seemed much upset about it, and I thought how lucky it was the Fenians had not got me when I fell off the donkey. It was at the Little Lodge I was first menaced with education. The approach of a sinister figure described as the governess was announced. Her arrival was fixed for a certain day. In order to prepare for this day, Mrs. Everest produced a book called Reading Without Tears. It certainly did not justify its title in my case. I was made aware that before the governess arrived, I must be able to read without tears. We toiled each day. My nurse pointed with a pen at the different letters. I thought it all very tiresome. Our preparations were by no means completed when the fateful hour struck, and the governess was due to arrive. I did what so many oppressed peoples have done in similar circumstances. I took to the woods. I hid in the extensive shrubberies, forests they seemed, which surrounded the little lodge. Hours passed before I was retrieved and handed over to the governess. We continued to toil every day, not only at letters, but at words, and also, at what was much worse, figures. Letters, after all, had only got to be known, and when they stood together in a certain way, one recognised their formation, and that it meant a certain sound or word, which one uttered when pressed sufficiently. But the figures were tied into all sorts of tangles and did things to one another which it was extremely difficult to forecast with complete accuracy.